The button says I'm on. Now I'm on. Okay. I'm on. I'm not coming off the platform. Don't worry. I'm just going to get a drink of water. In the early days of my paralysis, if I got that close, my husband would start screaming frantically. Like, what is your deal? I am so thankful to be here. Deanna contacted me back in June, I think, wasn't it? And said the Lord had laid this on the heart of this church, and they had asked me if I would be willing to come. I was so excited. I do have known Deanna for a long time, so I was thrilled just to think about getting to reunite with her. But I love it anytime the Lord opens a door to share his word and his story in my life. I told Deanna this morning, the thing that makes me the most nervous about sharing my story is it's not my story. It's God's story through my life, and I always want to make sure that it stays God's story. So you pray for me for that. Let's start with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you so much. And Lord, what a beautiful sea of faces that I'm looking out at today. And Lord, bless each lady that has taken the time out of their busy schedules to come to strengthen their Christian walk with you and to encourage one another. And Father, we are just your vessel, Lord, and I pray that you would speak through me, give me your confidence and your message, Lord, that you would have for our hearts this entire day. Lord, we thank you for the beautiful singing we've already heard, and Lord, thank you for the ladies that participated in the skit and all the hard work, Lord, that has went in to prepare this meeting for us today, Lord. We just pray that you would bless the hands that have worked on that. Lord, we love you, and help us to give you all the glory in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, can anybody guess the theme today? I told Miss Dawn that I was trying to wear camouflage so I could blend in, and she said, you blend in better with the bright colors, and I think she's right. So, Miss Dawn, did I say that correctly? All right, good. The passage of Scripture that this theme is based off of is Psalms 34:8, and that is where we will be first. Psalms 34:8. And I'm going to give you just a moment to be there. And I also want to say hello to my friend Carolyn Odom, pastor's wife, and brought her ladies here today. And we also went to school together, so it's fun to be reunited again, isn't it? So thank you for bringing your ladies. And there's a lot. How many are pastor's wives in here? Would you raise your hand? Hi. Thank you. Good. That's good. Mrs. Brown down here, raise your hand, please. I went to school with her daughters. So it's been like a family reunion already this morning. It's good. How many of you feel the buzz in the air already? Well, we ladies can put off a buzz, can't we? It's good. It's a good buzz. I'm excited. All right, Psalms 34:8. Are you there? I want you to read it with me, okay? Okay, let's go. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. How many of you read that verse like 100 times probably already in your Christian life, maybe more? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Today, we have three sessions, and we're going to break that verse down just a little bit, okay? In this first session, we're going to talk about, oh, taste and see. Recently, I joined a fitness challenge on Facebook. Four men already carried me to this platform. There's nothing that makes you more keenly aware of your weight than when they say, how many men you need, and I say, you better bring a football team. Not really. But it's a private group. It's ladies only. You pay $25, and $20 of that goes into a kitty so that you kind of have this motivation to win the kitty. And really, it's just, I think there's almost 200 ladies on there. Most of them are Christian ladies. It started by a Christian lady. And mostly it's just trying to help you kickstart the new year with a healthy lifestyle. And you're not allowed to eat sugar, and you're not allowed to eat after 9 o'clock, and you have to drink 64 ounces of water a day. I better win some money. That's all I got to say. But you're allowed a cheat day one day a week. And today is my cheat day. So I've already enjoyed a bite of that wonderful muffin up there. So the other night for supper, I got all excited and trying to cook all these creative, healthy meals. And I chopped up some cabbage. And I chopped up some onions. And I threw a little onion soup mix in there. And I let that simmer. And it smelled so wonderful. And I was so excited to feed that to my 6 children. We collect kids. We collect kids. You collect Barbies all you want. I collect kids. I get to take mine to heaven. There we go. So I was so excited to feed it to them. And they came into the kitchen. And only one and a half said, "That smells good, Mommy." What do you think? You think my children were pretty excited about cabbage and onions?
No.
Mean Mommy Award. No, actually they were saying, "Ew, gross. What is that? Do I have to eat that?" Now, what does a good mommy say? I said, "Just taste it and see." Right. And so, I am so glad that the Lord did not say, "Oh, hear and smell." Because there are things that can invade some of my senses that I do not invite into my life. For example, I do not choose to smell the skunk on the side of the road. Do you? Please don't raise your hand because we will quarantine you as a weird person. No, we do not choose that. It just invades our senses. And even if we try to plug our noses, can't you still? Just can't get it out of you. And hearing, I do not choose to drive up to that red light and listen to your... My windows are up. I plug in my ears and my van is still convulsing from that. So I don't choose that. No, God says, "Oh, taste and see." Because you can have a really good plate of food and it smells good, but unless I choose to put that in my mouth and taste it, I will never know. And if I don't want to look at you right now, I just close my eyes. That's all. I can completely shut that out, can't I? So God says, "No, taste me. See me." You see, I can look out at creation and I see God all over it. Can't you? Of course he is. And we can see that. But God doesn't want that to be enough for us. He wants us to actively partake and engage with him. Yeah, he can filter onto us through creation, through every sunrise, through every rainbow, through every heartbeat that is beating in your chest right now because you don't choose that. God does. He can do that in your life, but he says, "No, I want you to have an enriched Christian life." And to do that, you have to decide to engage in a personal relationship with Christ. So taste me and see me. All right, so if we say, "Good, I want to taste of God. I want to see God." Raise your hand if that is a desire of your heart, please. Absolutely. So now I have to remind you of a second thing. We have four taste buds. They are sweet, salty, sour, and bitter. I think only like 25% of those are sweet. And I'm afraid, ladies, I don't mean to burst your bubble, but when we taste and see the Lord, you are going to realize and already have in life that it's not a bed of roses. That's not the Christian life. It's not life, period, because sin has its presence in this world. And as long as sin has its presence in this world, we will have troubles, won't we? So as the Christian life, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, taste and see. And we're thinking, yeah, I want in on that. So now I'm going to ask you a question. How many of you would raise your hand to this question? How many of you would love to be closer to the Lord next year than you are at this time right now? Please raise your hand. I'm there with you. All right, hands down. Next question. How many of you want to suffer a trial this year? Raise your hand. Many times, or I'll say most times, the valley to a sweeter relationship with Christ is through a valley of suffering. And I'm going to say this, that is not taught in most of our churches. Actually, when people are suffering, and you're in the ministry, my husband's been a pastor for over 10 years, we worked in the ministry before that. When people come to you with major trials, you're a little bit not sure what to say. Does anybody else find that to be true? Pastor's wives, if you found that to be true? We're not sure how to answer these questions because there's some real hard questions that people ask, and they're fair. They're fair. And we don't know what to do with it. We don't know how to handle suffering. But I think suffering is almost one of the doctrines. Because Jesus said, if you follow me, Take up your cross and follow me. That's right. Who said that? That's right. Take up your cross and follow me. And he said, actually, if you do follow me, you're going to suffer. That is completely opposite of our health and wellness gospel that's being preached and promoted. And I hate to tell you, but it's been filtered into many of our churches. God, you bless me, I'll serve you, and you bless me. And when I don't feel like you're blessing me, we have a problem. And we are going to deal with that more in the next session. So right now, I want to share my story. How many of you are curious? Figured you was. And that's okay, too. One of my favorite candies is a lemon head. Does anybody like a lemon head? Because you pop them in your mouth, and these little glands back here start going, whoa! And about the time you get through that, then there's this nice, sweet center to kind of help balance that. Isn't that true? And I believe that's what, when our taste buds, when we're going through a trial, I believe that's what can be found. At first, it feels so sour and so awful, but there's a sweet center. So as we go through the rest of this lesson, I want you to hang on. This is not a doom and gloom lesson. I don't do doom and gloom. We will come to a sweet spot, but let's talk about the sour first, and I want to share my story with you. I was raised in a Christian home. I have a wonderful Christian heritage, and I'm so thankful for that. I was saved when I was 5 years old. I'd been taught about Jesus loving me and giving his life for mine and taking my place of suffering. And I knew I was a sinner, and I knew I needed Jesus. And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. And I knew I needed Jesus. There was no chance. Lisha, I was an ornery little kid. Even at 5 years old, I was. You did not convince me. I was a little sinner. And I knew that I needed Jesus in my life. And I asked Jesus to come into my heart and save me. And I'm so thankful that I learned that at a young age and had that opportunity. I was homeschooled. I was protected from a lot of bad opportunities. And I'm thankful for that. I went on to Bible college. I met the man of my dreams. We got married. The Lord gave us a beautiful family, these children. And we were serving the Lord in our first pastorate. Life was very, very sweet. But then March of 2009 came. And that's almost 5 years ago. And I will tell you up front, because sometimes I tell my story and I forget to tell what the diagnosis is. And people come to me afterwards like, you didn't tell the rest of the story. What is it? So I'll say it up front. I had a neurological disorder that's called transverse myelitis. It's very rare. It's about 1 in 1,000,000. Are any of you nurses in here? Have you ever heard of it? It's very rare. And basically, that's where you get a virus in your system, and it attacks your spinal cord, and it causes swelling and inflammation around your spinal cord, and it literally squeezes the life out of your spinal cord, the nerves and all that. And so on March 11th, the day before, on 2009, I was in the most intense pain I'd ever been in. It felt like somebody was, I was just had lightning bolts running through my body, my arms, my legs, and it was horrible, horrible pain. And I decided I was going to go lay down and take a nap, thinking that maybe this will ease up when I lay down. And 24 hours later, I remember trying to go to the bed, and I fell twice just trying to get to the bed. And then I went to sleep. I think, and doctors think now, I probably went unconscious for that long from the pain. And my husband roused me up 24 hours later. And when he woke me up, I remember my first thoughts when I woke up was, man, the pain's not as bad as it was. So that was a relief. But then I realized, I don't feel the blankets on me. I see the blankets on me, but I don't feel the blankets on me. And I felt really weird. And Jimmy said, can you stand up? And I said, I don't know. I feel so weird. And so he grabbed me and tried to get me up, and I just crumpled into the floor. I was completely paralyzed from my ribs down. And my arms were really weak, and my fingers were moving, but I felt disconnected from them. And anyway, doctors, hospital visits, all this, I was diagnosed with transverse myelitis. That is, it was in my C5 to C7 level, which is up in your neck. So, but the level of inflammation that you have and how long it stays is how long the impairment is. I was 5 months pregnant with our 6th baby at that time. So the only treatment they can do is mega doses of steroids, which were going to be a danger for the baby. So we absolutely did not want that. So it just really boiled down to waiting and seeing. They want to make sure no lung involvement, make sure you're going to be able to breathe on your own. And I had made it through the critical time, so they just wait and see. Let's hope when this baby's born, something will change and shift. Well, I had the baby in July, and he was born very healthy, and we thank God for that, that it didn't affect him. And that really was the thing that was biggest on my mind at that time, was I want my baby to be okay. Is the baby okay? Is the baby okay? I had to have an emergency C-section, and I had a lot of horrible complications from that. And so I spent 3 months in a hospital bed in my living room with a nurse coming in every day trying to recover from that. When I did recover from that, I started physical therapy. They didn't want to do physical therapy because I was pregnant. It was very intense, and they were afraid that would hurt the baby. So we had to wait all that time. So I had waited almost 7 months to start physical therapy, which is kind of bad, too, because those first months are really critical. But we just tried to do what we could. I started physical therapy. I went 3 times a week. We did that for a year. We drove over 500 miles a week on our van going to therapy. I worked as hard as I could. I knew the ultimate outcome was in the hands of the Lord, but I sure wanted to do my part. And therapy is tough. It is. And thank God for therapists, because they have to be compassionate but tough. And as my nerves started to heal and reroute, my arms got stronger, my hands were working great. They weren't too affected, just a little bit. And so they were doing great. I developed nerve pain that started suddenly out of nowhere. And at times I feel like a dog has me by the back of the leg and he's just ripping off. And I always feel like I'm sitting on gravel. Anybody ever sit down on gravel? That's the sensation. I always feel like it. The longer I sit, it kind of turns into glass. So a lot of times, if you see me getting fidgety, I'm just fidgety. I fidget a lot. But the nerve pain started progressing, which was a sign, though, that nerves were trying to heal. And so and I started having spasms, which that was a whole new experience. Like, why does the leg move and I don't tell it to, but it won't move and I do tell it to? And I can tell you how many people say, "Hey, you moved your leg." I'm like, "I did." You know, sorry. It's just, it does its own thing. Just ignore it. It's a rebel. It's the rebel in me coming back. It's haunting me now. They do what they want to do. So therapy was great. We did it for a year, and I'll never forget the day. Deanna, what time am I supposed to be done? 10:45? That's what I thought. Okay. I'll never forget the day. In therapy, they had ordered these long braces, and you all have probably seen them, you know, on whatever. But these long braces, and you have to wear these ugly shoes. And my therapist was real deadpan. He never laughed. He never did anything. And he was really nerdy and brainy. So anytime I said, "What are you doing? Why are you doing that?" Man, I'd get the medical textbook. And I like that because I'm curious. I want to know what you're doing to me and why you're doing that. And so I learned a lot just through him. But I'll never forget the day. He was always deadpan. And he put the braces on me that day. And they finally got me stood up. And there were people all around. And they want you to pretty much put your shoulder over the top of your head and throw. You know, I can move my arm like this, right? Or I can move my arm like that, right? That's the idea of braces. So you're really not moving the leg. You're just trying to learn how to throw it. And you look like RoboCop because you're like encased in metal. And he got me up, and we made about 5 steps doing that. And it took like 30 to 45 minutes. I was exhausted. I was drenched in sweat. You're hanging on because I have no balance. It's like a giant tree, you know. Don't blow on me or I'm over. And he said, I mean, I'll never forget, he screamed, "Yes, you're walking." And I thought, are you kidding me? What planet are you from? And I kind of said that to him, "Jeremy, this is not walking. Is this what we've been working so hard for all this time?" And he said, "Yes." And I said, "Is this as good as it's going to get?" And he said, "Yes." And I said, "I'm not interested. No offense, but I'm not interested. It's ugly. I told y'all it's ugly. We have fashion process things here. And it's not functional. I cannot let go. I can just see me standing in my kitchen saying, I need that glass, so grab it, you know. It's just, and I'm worn out. I'm worn out." So he said, "What do you want to do?" I said, "You teach me how to use a wheelchair." He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "I have some YouTube videos. I'll bring them into you, and when I see these people doing it, I want you to teach me." And he did. Thank God he did. And I learned how to, if I fall out of my chair, how to get back in my chair. He taught me how to, I learned how to drive. I have hand controls on my van. I drive. He taught me how to get in and out of my vehicle, how to break my the tires come off, the back comes off, this thing breaks down. And it's like Legos, you know. And put one piece in at a time. I can load my chair. I can unload my chair. I told my husband, I said, I saw somebody learn how to ride wheelies down a ramp. And And I'm going to say this with a clause, because I was at a ladies' conference about to tell this story. And they had a platform like this. And that was that, who was I telling about the steep ramp? It was that one. And they had a ramp all the way down the aisle, except it wasn't to code. It was really steep. Like, they'd just taken straight down. And so I'd had help getting up. You know, it was way too steep. And I was telling this story that I was proud of myself, because it took me 8 months, but I learned how to ride a wheelie down a hill. I thought it was so cool. I thought it was so cool. My husband would not watch. He's like, I can't stand it. I would do it, and I'd almost tip over, and I would stop for about 4 weeks, and then I'd try again. I worked so hard. Anyway, I was bragging at this ladies' conference in Indiana, and I was telling this story. So we get all done. I go back out of the way. They can conclude. And one of the ladies, and I ain't doing this, so just don't even do it. I learned my lesson. She's like, show us. I'm like, what? On that ramp? And she said, put your money where your mouth is. You said, and I said, oh, dear Lord. I'm going to kill myself right in front of all these people. Of course, I didn't let them know. I'm like, okay, I can do it. I did, and I stopped at the back door. So I was like, shoo, all the way down. I'm like, I'm never doing that again. But I learned how to use a wheelchair and get around a wheelchair. And so, you know, I'm very independent. I do what I want to do. I have to learn how to do it a different way. My friends can attest to that probably. They see my stupidity sometimes. But I just feel like, I needed that. I needed to know that I can still do things. I remember my little boy Isaiah at the time, he would come to me, and it always hit him at bedtime. And one night he came to me and he said, Mama, he said, you can't jump on the trampoline with us anymore. And I said, we don't have a trampoline. He said, I know, but if we ever got one. I said, let me show you something, buddy. And I found this YouTube video of this kid that's had spinal bifida, was born with spinal bifida, and he does skateboarding tricks. Aaron Fotheringham's his name, if you want to YouTube him. And he goes up these huge ramps and comes down, does double backflips in this chair. He's insane. Anyway, I thought, okay, I'm going to encourage Isaiah to let him know, you know, people can still do things. And so I showed him that. Here he was just crying because I couldn't jump on the trampoline. I'm like, let me show you something, buddy. And I pulled up that YouTube video. And as soon as he got done watching that, he started crying again. And he said, promise me you'll never do that. Okay. Now, I would like to tell you through all of that that I never doubted God. I would like to tell you that my faith never wavered. I would like to tell you that I never struggled with not having answers. But I can't tell you that because it wouldn't be true. I can tell you about a God I love that helped me through that time and what I learned. It was about the 1 year mark that the permanency of it all started hitting me. Therapy was going good. It was becoming more day to day. My baby was born healthy. I had recovered. All that drama of that first year finally seemed to just be settling down. And that's when it hit me. This is going to be the rest of my life. And that's when I started struggling in my mind. I struggled. Questions that came to my head, I never knew would have come to my head as a Christian. Questions like, if God is so good and wonderful, why did he allow this in my life? If he knew that we were serving him and giving our lives to him in full-time ministry, then why did he make me half the person I was before? If his plan involved being a good wife and mother to my 6 children, then why in the world would he make it harder for me? If he really loves me, then why would he hurt me? If life was sweet, why does this taste so horrible? These were dark questions, and questions that no one could answer for me. Because, like I said, you don't find answers a lot about this in our churches. So I began to seek God's face. And I asked him to please help me learn whatever it was he wanted me to learn. Nothing made sense to me, but apparently it did to him. And I wanted to find out what that was. I saw how spoiled of a Christian I was. Do you know American Christians are very spoiled? We really are. And it hit me. I am a spoiled brat. And there was much I had a learned faith in, but not a living faith in. And I wanted to know what I believed. I wanted to know in whom I believed. Genuinely know him. I yearned for realness. I am thankful for my Christian heritage, but I have no desire to hand down a tradition to my children. I want to hand down a relationship to my children. I want them to know God, not Mama's God. And I needed to know that for myself. I saw that in me. It's something that's lacking. I wanted to know that all the years as a pastor's wife, when I had looked at somebody and said, God has a plan in all this. Just trust Him. I wanted to know, did I really mean that? Now that I'm there? How about this? What about when paralysis doesn't go away? What about when autistic children turn into autistic adults that you never stop taking care of? How about when your loved one gets sicker and dies when you've prayed they'll get better and live? How about those kind of questions? Those are real and they are raw. And they will be asked. You'll ask them yourself and people will ask you of them. I wanted to have a life that when I looked up at heaven and said, God, I trust you, that God would look back down to me and say, I know you do. And so I sought God's face desperately, and I wanted to know him. If we stopped the story right here, we'd say, this is a pitiful story. This is a heartbreaking story. This is a deep valley. This is a story of wanting something so badly you can taste it and not getting it. This is something and a story of a battle between my flesh and my faith. This is a story of tasting something from the Lord that you never thought he would feed you. But that's not the end of the story. Remember that lemon head? Here's the sweet middle. And that's a pretty tune. Keep it playing. It's doing good. It's a dramatic effect. I always feel sorry for the person that happens to. The middle part is that I tasted something else. During the times when you're hungrily seeking God's word and trying to figure out who he was and what he's doing, I discovered something else. When all the horrible taste of suffering consumed me, there was a sweet spot. You know what it is? It's Psalms 119, 103. And here it says, you don't have to turn there if you want, but it says, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. God's word became so precious to me. I no longer read it because I needed to get through my Bible reading chart for the year. I no longer read it because it was my duty. I read it because I needed it. I read it because I could not go through my day without something from God to sustain me. I read it because it was the only sure thing in my life at that time. I read it because it soothed my broken heart and it fed my hungry soul. That's a completely different relationship, ladies. That's what God's word was for me. And then something sweeter was realized. I want you to listen to Hebrews 2:9. It said, but we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. You know what Jesus did for me? He tasted death. I tasted suffering. But I am a child of God, and I will never taste eternal death. But Jesus tasted death, and because of his tasting death, he gave me eternal life. And I can taste of his goodness and through the words of his precious word of God he's given us. Johnny Erickson Tada has been a quadriplegic for 45 years. She has a wonderful disability ministry. She recently was diagnosed with breast cancer a few years ago, and she felt like breast cancer really on top of quadriplegia? And she said one day she was coming home. She's a high-level quad, so she doesn't have a diaphragm. She cannot throw up without help. She cannot cough without help. She doesn't have the lung capacity. And she said one day she was coming home from chemo with her husband, Ken, and she had gotten sick, and they had to pull over so he could help her vomit on the side of the road. And she said to him, Ken, these are the splashovers of hell in our lives. And if we have to endure the splashovers of hell, where are the splashovers of heaven? And then she said, it hit me, the splashovers of heaven is that we have Jesus in the midst of our splashovers of hell. And as a child of God, this is the only hell we will ever experience. And those who are not the children of God, this is the only heaven they will experience. That's a sobering thought, isn't it? And I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that Jesus tasted death for me. You are not alone. Philippians 3:10 says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Fellowship is what today is about. Good Bible study, food, funny skits. That's my version of fellowship. Is that yours? Let's have a fellowship. But that's not what it says here. It says that we may know him, that I may know him, and the fellowship of his sufferings. You know what Jesus is saying? I know what you're going through. I've been through it all, and I'm here right beside you. There are days that some days I just say, God, I'm a visual learner, so I just close my eyes, and I imagine that I'm crawling up in the lap of my Heavenly Father. And I say to him, I just need you to hold me today. I don't want to talk. I just need you to hold me. Ever had a child do that to you? Mommy, I'm scared. Mommy, I don't feel good. Mommy, will you just hold me? And my Heavenly Father loves to hold me. And he loves to hold you. I am at a place in my life, finally, that I'm thankful for the suffering that has been in my life. Not that I enjoy physical discomfort. Not that I enjoy lost control of my body. Not that I enjoy the emotional devastation. Sometimes it just wants to consume your mind. But I know whom I have believed in. And I am more sure today of what I believe than I've ever been in my life. If you'd have said to me, Alicia, when did you get saved? I would say when I was 5. If you say to me, Alicia, when did you come to know the Lord? I would say 5 years ago. And I still am learning from the Lord. I would not trade it, ladies. I don't want to walk if I would have to lose everything I've learned from the Lord. And that's the sweet spot, because he doesn't just give you a flavor of him. He gives you himself in the midst of that. The fluffy, sweet things in our life are wonderful, and we can enjoy them. But the path to the sweetest center of Jesus Christ is through a path of suffering. And we might as well get that in our heads, because each of you have experienced it. Let's not forget, in the Old Testament, Jesus smelled the sweet savors. Remember that in heaven? Does anybody know what was happening on earth when he was smelling that? Sacrifice. The sacrifice on the earth brought a sweet savor to the Lord. And the riches of the fellowship of Christ is far greater reward than anything you'll experience. We all have a story. This one is mine. But you all have a story. I have tasted of the Lord. And I've seen the Lord. And even in the times that you think taste bad, hang on. Hang on. You seek the Lord and you stay in his word, and you will find the precious sweetness in the center of all that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. It is so sweet to trust in Jesus. Lord, help us to taste of you. Help us to see you. Help us to be actively participating in a relationship with you. Love you, Lord, and thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen.